We're going to continue this morning our series that we began last week. This mini series we're going to do through following Easter. This series called Led by the Shepherd. Led by the Shepherd. And we are going to be looking at probably the most famous psalm of all, Psalm 23. I'm sure you would have heard of this psalm, whether you've been to church before or not. I'm sure this psalm is familiar to you. It's a psalm that's read in weddings, a psalm that's used in funerals, a psalm that's well known by many, many people. And we began this series last week, this series called Led by the Shepherd, looking at the first verse in Psalm 23, which is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need." We seen last week that our God is a wise and clever shepherd. He's a good shepherd who provides all that we're in need of. And David, this man who wrote this psalm, he went on to be the king of Israel. David was the person who killed that giant Goliath, but yet he was a shepherd. This is what he did, first of all. This is where he met with God, and God, he worshipped the Lord. And he knew what it was like to be a shepherd, but he also recognized he needed a shepherd as well. And he knew that God was his shepherd. And so when he's sharing here about the Lord is my shepherd, this psalm about being a shepherd, he's talking about the Lord, about how God is our shepherd. But this morning, we're going to continue this series. We're going to jump on into verse 2 this morning. And the title of this message today is The Shepherd's Pace. The Shepherd's Pace. And I believe this speaks into a season that I feel like I'm in at the moment, but I believe it's a season that we might be in, even as a church family today. And it says this in Psalm 23, verse 1 and 2. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams." You know, over the last few years, since we've come back from COVID, really, since 2021, we've really seen God move in our church family here. We give him all the praise and all the glory for how God has been moving amongst us. We've seen people give their lives to Jesus. People surrender their lives to Jesus. We've seen people recommit their lives to Jesus. We've seen people go through the waters of baptism. We've started new ministries. There's been growth. There's been momentum spiritually and numerically within our church. And we give God all the honor for that. But since 2021, we've been really going nonstop. It's been pretty full on since 2021. I'm so grateful for all that God has been doing. But whilst I'm feeling grateful, I'm also feeling a little bit tired as well. I don't know if any of you feel like that. When you go through life and you go through working hard or with family or different things in your life, there can be seasons where it's just nonstop, it's continual, and it's great. But then there comes a moment where you really start to feel it physically, feel it emotionally, even feel it spiritually. And I felt that. We've been going nonstop since 2021, and I'm starting to feel a little bit tired. I know you might say, "Luke, you're only a young pup. Come on, really?" But it does. You can feel it. I can feel it at this moment in time. And I've been wondering recently. I've been wondering, is God trying to slow me down a little bit? Is God trying to slow us down a little bit? Now, when I began to think of that, I thought, is the reason why things are slowing down or I'm feeling a little bit like this, is it because something's wrong? Is there something wrong? I always think that if there's a bit of a lack of momentum or things start slowing down, is there something wrong in this moment? But I don't believe that's the case. I really don't believe that's the case. And I've prayed and I've asked the Lord, is there something wrong? And I don't think there's something wrong in this moment in time. In fact, I think God is doing something. I think the reason why God is maybe making me feel this way, why I feel this way, and is, I believe God is reminding me that sometimes we need to just pause and remember him. Sometimes we need to just slow down a little bit. Sometimes I believe that God holds us back a little bit because he wants to teach us something. God wants to change maybe the pace in which we are doing things. I feel like that this is a moment even for us as a church of a change of gear for a season. I believe that maybe we've been going on in fifth gear, but maybe God wants to drop us down a gear because he wants to teach us something in this moment. God wants to teach us, I believe, to walk differently in this season to what we've been, the way we've been walking in the previous seasons. I believe he's teaching me that as well. God does this in our lives on times. And what's amazing is that David knew this as well. David knew that sometimes God will slow us down from the way in which we are living. Instead of going 100 miles an hour, there are seasons where God will slow us down. That's where we start today. David realized that sometimes, even in this psalm here, he says that the Lord allows us to rest. In other words, sometimes the shepherd will slow us down. Sometimes it's not just because of things in our lives. Sometimes God will slow us down intentionally in our lives. He says there, and this word really hit me this week. It says, he lets me rest. He lets me rest. You know, David didn't write these words just out of theory. He wrote this from a real experience. I love the Psalms because David is real. David is honest. He doesn't put on his Sunday best when he's penning the words of the Psalms. He shows us what life is all about. The highs, the lows, the bad times, the good times. He shows us, but yet through it all, he points us to the Lord. He shows us how God is gracious, how God helps, how God forgives, how God restores, how God corrects on times. But David here points to the Lord and David says that he lets me rest. David knew what it was like in this time in his life, what it was like to slow down. As I shared even last week, many Bible commentators think that David wrote this psalm, not when he was out on the fields as a young boy, but David wrote this psalm when he was going through a difficult time, when he was on the run, when he was in hiding, when he was fearing from his life. But David knew what it was like to slow down. Because before David was a king, as I said, David was a shepherd. David knew firsthand what it took to look after sheep. David led sheep. That was his job. He protected the sheep. He guided the sheep. He walked them wisely through different terrain. But you know what David would have known, and what all shepherds would have known, or farmers would have known, is that sometimes when you're leading the sheep, sometimes the sheep need to stop and rest. There are moments when the sheep need to stop and rest. Now, I looked into this a little bit this week, and I discovered that in Israel, with the shepherds there, the shepherds would have led the sheep on about a 5-mile walk each and every day to try and find food and try and find water. So five miles a day, the sheep would have been walking around. But you know, the sheep aren't the strongest of animals. The sheep, they tire easily. Sheep, they don't know when to stop. And so the shepherd would intentionally slow the sheep down and lead them to a moment of rest so that they can renew, so they can be renewed, and so that they can be restored. Why? Because a good shepherd knows that if the sheep don't stop, they'll end up collapsing under the heat. They'll be exhausted. Sometimes the sheep would even wander into danger as well because they are so, so tired. And that's why David says here, he says, he lets me rest. You know, when I was looking at this and when I was studying this message this week, I looked at the Hebrew word. I'm trying to impress Dale this morning. So I looked up the Hebrew. I know I don't usually do this, but I looked up the Hebrew word for where it says, he lets me rest. And the Hebrew word is a word that's called rabas. That's what it is in the original, because the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And that word, he lets me rest, it actually means to stretch out. It means to lie down, or it means to settle. That word really hit me when I looked at that this week. It's something that the shepherd does, that it says, he lets me rest. Or in other words, the shepherd settles the sheep. The shepherd calms the sheep down. He settles the sheep. After all this walking and wandering, he settles the sheep down. You know, it's interesting that sheep, they don't settle very easily. In fact, sheep need 4 things to happen in order for them to rest and to lie down. They need these perfect conditions in order to lie down. Sheep won't rest if, number one, they're not afraid, if they're afraid of something. They'll only rest if they're not afraid. So if there's danger around, then they won't rest. Sheep won't rest if there's conflict with other sheep. Can you believe that? Sheep arguing with sheep. But I don't even know what that is like. But they won't rest if there's a bit of tension with another sheep or a ram or something like that. Sheep won't rest if they're being irritated by pests. And in the Middle East, there was a lot of flies and things that would fly into the sheep's ears and into their eyes. We look at this in a bit more detail in a few weeks' time, but they won't rest if there's a, they're being irritated. They won't rest. And sheep won't rest if they're hungry. I'm a bit like that as well, but unless I've had something to eat, I won't rest. But sheep are like that as well. If they're hungry, then they won't rest. It said that even if one of these things are off, sheep are on the edge. I know we've got an expert farmer here, Ray. I don't know if that's right, if that's correct. No, it is. But they say, shepherds say that, yeah, if one of these things are off, then sheep won't rest. They won't lie down. They'll keep on moving. They'll keep on walking if these things aren't in place. You know, when I began to think of that, I began to think of myself. I began to think of us even as people. We're exactly like that, aren't we, as well? We don't know how to slow down in life, do we? We're living in such a fast-paced world where we want everything here and now, where we've got to be constantly on the go, where we've got to be doing things all the time. I don't know if you're like me, but I find it hard to switch off. I find it hard to rest, to slow down on times. And even when we do rest, how many of you know that our minds keep on racing? We're always thinking about the next thing, aren't we? Always thinking about the washing, always thinking about getting the dishes done, always thinking about picking up maybe your kids or your grandkids, always thinking about getting that work thing finished, always doing things. You know, it's amazing. We can even be on holiday. You can even be lying by the pool. And I know many of you would rather be there right now, but you could be lying by the pool, sunbathing, but yet your mind isn't even in that place. Your mind is back home. Your mind is thinking about everything else that's going on in your life. You know what I've discovered in my life, and even as a follower of Jesus, is that the enemy of our soul, Satan, that's exactly what he wants in our lives. He wants us to be constantly on the go. Satan, he constantly wants us to be tired and weary and worn out. Satan knows that if he can't destroy you, then he'll distract you. That's what the enemy does in our lives. Satan knows that if he can't take you out, he'll wear you out. That's what he wants to do in our lives. And Satan, the enemy of our souls, he'll stir up fear in your mind. He'll fuel busyness. Isn't it interesting how when there's a midweek meeting, you've got more work deadlines to do? Or when you want to come to church, then it's hard, there's fight, there's tension, even to come along to church. He creates those things. Satan does that in our lives. The enemy of our soul, he whispers lies into our hearts and minds. Satan knows what it's like. He wants us to keep on moving. He wants us to keep going. Why? Because Satan knows that if we rest, then we'll be restored and God will work in our lives. He knows that God wants to work in us and restore us the strength to keep on serving the Lord. And he knows, God knows that sometimes we need to pause. But the enemy of our souls wants to keep us busy. He wants to keep you from moving. But I've got good news today, that you've got a good shepherd who is greater than the enemy of our souls. And he is able to still us. He is able to calm us. He is able to slow us down. He sees beneath the surface. The good shepherd knows what's going on in our lives. And you know, the good shepherd, he never drives us. He leads us into stillness. That's what the shepherd does within our lives. Our shepherd, he removes all fear. Our shepherd, he deals with division. Our shepherd restores our soul. Sometimes our shepherd will slow us down in life. In life, why? Because he wants to work in us and restore us once again. It's because he loves us. You know, I love what it says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Jesus said it like this, and I'm going to read it from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of the Bible, The Message. He says this. He says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Jesus says, come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. He says, I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I love that. He says, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's what our God does. He leads us into that rest. He restores our souls. You know, one of the things I love about Jesus is that Jesus never ran anywhere. You can read throughout the Gospels. You'll never see that Jesus was in a rush. You'll never see that Jesus ran anywhere. Jesus always walked everywhere. He was never in a rush. Jesus was intentional. Jesus moved at his Father's pace, and he calls us to do the same. This morning, you don't have to keep striving. You don't have to keep living life at a frantic pace, constantly doing things. You don't have to run yourself into the ground. You know, there's a popular word at this moment in time out there. It's the word burnout. I don't know if any of you have heard that. I've probably said it as well, but I feel burnt out. I feel tired. It's because we're living maybe at the wrong pace. Maybe it's time the shepherd is saying, slow down. Come back at my pace. I want you to rest. It says, he leads me to rest. He leads me to rest. The shepherd knows how to slow us down on times. Why? So that he can restore our souls. So that he can cause life to come into our lives again. There's another verse that I love. And maybe this is a word for somebody here this morning. Maybe it's just a word that God is encouraging me with. Psalm 46 verse 10 says this. Be still and know that I am God. Maybe that's what you need this morning. Be still. Now, I know some of you are thinking, but Luke, you don't know what I've got to do. I know some of you are thinking, I can't be still. I'll miss out. I won't get this done. I won't get that done. When you're in step with Jesus, when you're walking at the shepherd's pace, you're exactly where you're meant to be, and you'll do exactly what you're meant to do. God will sort it out for you. You don't have to worry about any other deadline or anything else. Just walk at the shepherd's pace and watch how God will guide and move in and through your life. The shepherd slows us down. But not only that, David wants us to see something else in this verse. Because David says here, he says, he lets me rest in green meadows. He lets me rest in green meadows. What's he talking about here? He's showing us that not only does the shepherd know how to slow us down, but the shepherd provides for us in every season. In every season. It says there, he lets me rest in green meadows. How many of you know there are seasons in life that are full of blessing, full of abundance? How many of you want that season in your life? Blessing, abundance, good things. We want it all. It seems like there's an open heaven over your life. It seems like everything is going right. It seems like there's just good thing after good thing in your life. And I want to say, if you're in one of those moments, thank God for it. Praise God for it, for his goodness and for his mercy and for all the good things he is doing in and through your life. You know, what's really interesting is that in Israel, where David wrote this psalm, the hills do actually turn green. Did you know that there are green hills in Israel? But what's interesting is that these green hills in Israel, that's Israel. You'd think that's the Deer Valley Country Park, wouldn't you? But it's not. That's Israel. There are green hills in Israel. But what's interesting is that this happens for only 3 months of the year. In Israel, Israel has a rainy season. There's a rainy season. It's from January to March. And because of the rain that they have in Israel, the desert landscape turns into this incredible oasis. It turns into these luscious green fields. The grass grows, the flowers bloom, and it's in these seasons that the shepherds lead their sheep to rest in these green pastures, to enjoy these moments, the green fields, to eat the grass. I'm sure it's the sheep's favorite time of year to go up and see all these fields that where all this grass is growing. Everything comes to life. And you know what I've discovered in my life is that God sometimes leads us there in life. There are those wonderful seasons where he blesses, where he refreshes, where he fills us up. And I want to say, if you're in that moment, don't feel guilty about it. That's what God's doing in your life at this moment. And thank him and praise him for it. It is a gift from God. Enjoy it. Rest in it. Be blessed by it. Thank God for it. But how many of you know that life isn't always like that? How many of you know that life isn't always abundance and blessing? As I said, in Israel, 3 months of the year, it's like that. But for 9 months of the year, it's like that. That's what it looks like in Israel for 9 months of the year. Most of the year in Israel, those hills are dry. 9 months of the year, it's hot, it's dusty, it's rocky, no lush fields, no easy grazing for the sheep and for the shepherds. And you know, in these seasons where it's like this, you need to have a good shepherd. The sheep need to have a good shepherd, because it's in the dry, difficult season that the shepherd will lead the sheep to find the grass which it needs in the dry and barren land. It needs a clever shepherd who will guide the sheep cleverly, slowly, carefully, step by step, looking for small tufts of grass between the rocks. In this season, there's not an abundance. There's not an overflow. There's not grass everywhere. But the shepherd knows how to provide for the sheep just enough for the day. It's just enough for that day. Just enough so the sheep can continue on for the next day. You know, there's a wonderful picture of this in the Old Testament in Exodus. When God led his people through the wilderness after slavery in Egypt, the people of God were captive, but God set them free. And they were on their way to the promised land, but this journey should have taken a few weeks, ended up taking over 40 years. And they were in the wilderness. They were wandering through the wilderness. And unfortunately, in the wilderness, there was no Tesco. There was no Asda. There were no Uber Eats. There was no McDonald's or anything like that. It was barren in the wilderness. There was no overflowing storehouses. It was desert in the wilderness. But yet when God's people were walking through the wilderness, God provided food for his people every single day. He gave them just what they needed. It was a food called manna, which translates to, what is this thing? They didn't even know what it was, but it was this heavenly food that would come every day from heaven. It would fall on the ground and there would be food there for the people of God. It was just enough for the day. It says in Exodus 16 verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. God provided food for his people every day, but they couldn't store this food. They couldn't keep it for the next day. God said they had to trust him again, that he would provide for the next day as well, that there would be just enough food for the next day. They couldn't plan ahead. They couldn't set a weekly menu of what we're going to have tonight, you know, manna stew, or we're going to have manna pizzas. They couldn't do anything like that. They couldn't plan that. They had to just trust God every day that God will provide manna for the next day. And it's the same for you and me. Maybe you're in that grassy season. Maybe everything's abundant. Maybe everything's blessing at this moment in time. Enjoy it. But maybe you're in the dry desert season. Maybe everything's hard. Maybe you're just struggling to get by. Maybe it's a fight every single day of your life. Maybe you're walking through a dry season. And I want to say, if you are, it's not a punishment from God. It's just sometimes the seasons of life. It's just something that's part of the journey that God has for our lives. But I've got good news for you today, that if you are in a dry, difficult, tough season, the same God who provided for his people in the wilderness is the same God who provides for you today. He will give you all that you need. He'll give you enough strength for today. He'll give you enough mercy for today. He'll give you enough hope for today. He'll give you enough peace for today. You might say, how does he do that? How does God feed me? We're in these moments. Well, it's through this, through his word. God feeds us through his word. This is the bread for our hearts and for our lives. This is heavenly bread for us to feed on, to get through the challenges of life, to get through the difficulties. You need to read the Bible. Get into the word of God. Let the Bible read you. Get into the Bible. Even just a few verses a day can feed your soul, can give you exactly what you need. It's strength for your soul, enough to get through the day. Deuteronomy 8 verse 3 says, yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that you people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. If you're in a challenging moment, if you're in a dry season, don't give up. Don't stop trusting God. Know that God will provide for you in this moment. And as we come to a conclusion this morning, Not only does God slow us down in life, not only does God provide for us in every season, but finally, the Bible tells us that he goes beyond that as well. It says that the shepherd leads me beside peaceful streams. What's that a picture of you? Well, in Israel, water is life. Water is everything. People need it to survive. Sheep need it to survive as well. You know something I didn't realize? Is that sheep won't drink from fast running water. Sheep won't drink from fast running water. Why? It unsettles them. They get scared really easy. They get frightened by it. It makes them anxious. If sheep are going to drink water, they need it to be calm. They need it to be still. And so what a good shepherd would do is that a good shepherd would either find a still pool. That looks nice, doesn't it? How many of you want to go in there? I know my dog Charlie would like to go in there. But, you know, a good shepherd would find a still pool, and that's where he would lead the sheep. If he couldn't find a still pool, he would look for a rushing stream somewhere. But what's amazing is that the shepherd would then get rocks and get mud and get whatever he could to block up that stream, and he would dig out and create a pool so that the sheep, so it would be still for the sheep so that the sheep could drink it. He creates for them this peaceful, still water that would help them, that would nourish them, that would restore them, that would renew them. And David says here, this is what our God does. That he leads us beside peaceful streams. He leads us in a peaceful way. The Bible says here that God doesn't just lead us, but he is the Prince of Peace. That our God is the Prince of Peace and he leads us into peace. He calms our heart. He calms our mind. He knows exactly what you're in need of. Maybe you're here today and you're busy. You're running at 300 miles an hour. Maybe you're constantly on the go. I want to encourage you today. That you want find peace out there, peace starts in here. And our God is able to bring you peace. Our God is able to give you peace. He's able to calm your worries and your thoughts and all that's going on in your life. How does he bring peace into our lives? Well, it's through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and refreshes our souls. He restores our souls. He brings water, the water of life, rivers of living water, into our hearts, that it restores our soul. If you're feeling worn out or dry, ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Ask him to fill you anew. Ask him for the first time, maybe say, Lord, I'm dry, I'm weary, I'm tired, I'm anxious, I'm burnt out maybe. Say, God, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? And watch how the Holy Spirit will just refresh your soul. Watch how he will refresh you and lead you into peace. In Romans 15, verse 13, it says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, stop trying to live life in your own strength. Ask God to fill you and walk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Invite the Holy Spirit into your anxious heart this morning. And watch how he'll minister to you. John 7, verse 37 to 39, it says, on the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty may come. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit fills the empty places in your heart. The Holy Spirit brings calm into the chaos. The Holy Spirit allows you to catch your breath again. The Holy Spirit is the one who renews and refreshes. If you've been striving, if you've been stressing, if you've been running hard, slow down and say, Lord, fill me anew. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. I need you. I'm dry, I'm weary. I need your life. I need your power. I need your love. I need your peace within my life. You know, you can't live at the world's pace and expect the shepherd's peace. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. Allow him to settle your heart. Allow the good shepherd to lead you gently. What does this look like in our lives this week? I want to give you three things you can take away. And I'm just going to read them for you. Number one, start your day this week in stillness. Come before the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I need you. Before you do anything else, say, Lord, I'm taking a breather this morning. I'm not going to pick up my phone. I'm not going to look at this or that. I'm just going to be still for a few minutes. Lord, I need your presence. I need you, Lord. Help me today. Quiet my heart. So start your day in stillness. Allow God to settle your soul this week. Secondly, this week, feed on the Word of God. Read the Bible every day this week, even if it's reading Psalm 23. If you don't know anyone else to start, just read Psalm 23 this week. Read a verse and allow God to feed you by His Spirit. Allow His Word to strengthen you for all that you will face this week. And thirdly, welcome the Holy Spirit. Ask God to fill you for the first time or to fill you anew, because He's the only one who can bring real peace that your soul really longs for this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. Walk at the shepherd's pace, not the world's pace, the shepherd's pace. Slowly, step by step, day by day, and watch how God will give you strength and provision and peace every step of the way for all that you need.